I'm a big proponent of CBD to tonify the endocannabinoid system, which regulates many of our most critical bodily functions, such as learning and memory, emotional processing, sleep, temperature and pain control, and inflammatory and immune responses. The CBD brand that I take and recommend to my patients is Plus CBD from CV Sciences, which is now proud to introduce a new innovation to their Reserve Collection, a sleep gummy. The Reserve Collection is a specially curated blend of full-spectrum cannabinoids, including THC. Rich and bold, the Reserve Collection products are for when intense support is needed. Reserve Sleep Gummies build on their unique Reserve Collection formula with effective sleep-focused ingredients to better prepare you for bed each night. Wake up feeling refreshed, energized, and ready to take on the day with Reserve Sleep Gummies. All of Plus CBD's products are backed by science with clinically researched active ingredients. To learn more and to order, visit pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman and use coupon code Hoffman30 for 30% off. That's pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman for Plus CBD's new Reserve Collection Sleep Gummies. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're answering your questions. Questions can come to questions@drhoffman.net, or if you prefer, call 877-726-8255 and record a question, which we'll answer on our Intelligent Medicine radio show, which is heard Saturdays from noon to 2. 877-726-8255 gets you to record a question or gets you on the live show if you call during the broadcast. Go ahead.
All right. We've got an email from Sue. I was diagnosed with EPI, which is exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. Is that right?
Yep.
EPI?
Yep.
I was diagnosed with EPI and prescribed Creon, which is incredibly expensive. I'm on Medicare, and it's costing a small fortune. Plus, I'm not sure how effective it is since my symptoms continue. Wow, even on Creon. I've been looking at some of the over-the-counter enzymes, both porcine and vegan, but it's very hard to compare since the units are often different, and there's no way of knowing which products are trustworthy. There's pure encapsulations, there's vital nutrients, digestive gold.
I'm just looking this up, and I'm kind of surprised at this, because it's a digestive enzyme that's derived from, I believe, pork.
Mm-hmm.
And according to this, with a good Rx coupon at Rite Aid, it cost $1,094.
Oh, my goodness.
So I was wondering, you know, I've seen ads for EPI on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, when there are ads for something on TV, it's going to be for something that makes it worthwhile to spend a lot of advertising dollars on TV. So I didn't realize. I thought, like, well, it's just digestive enzymes. Like, why are they advertising digestive enzymes? For some reason, they got a price lock on that. I mean, probably the ingredients are not that expensive. It's just that they've got a patent on it, and it's available as a brand.
Follow patent.
I think that, okay, so first of all, I think EPI is real, mm-hmm. and I've been actually addressing it since the beginning of my medical career. Some people just don't have enough digestive enzymes. So we give them digestive enzymes, which are available over the counter for like maybe $20 or something like that, for like 60 or 100, I don't know. And they may not be as potent as Creon, you know, mm-hmm. truth be told, but you simply can take maybe a few more with a meal.
Yeah.
Now, Creon is broad spectrum. It has proteases. It has lipase, mm-hmm. Which breaks down fat. So there are different types of digestive enzymes. Some of them are plant-based, vegetarian.
Yeah.
And others are animal-based.
Mm-hmm.
And Creon is animal-based. Now, for the plant-based ones, they work pretty well, but they don't work that well for fat digestion.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, typical symptoms of EPI, you know, you eat a fatty meal and you have like oily stool because you're not breaking down the fat.
Yeah.
It's mostly about fat intolerance, but it can be any kind of IBS diarrhea. The problem is, I think there's not a lot of precision in diagnosing EPI. I think gastroenterologists can do stool tests to see if you have a lot of fat in your stool. We do digestive profiles on people where mm-hmm. we can find out if they have a lot of, undigested food particles.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of the things you look at is elastase. The presence of that suggests, you know, not enough digestive capacity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, often it's a mixed bag. It's like, why do you have irritable bowel or diarrhea? Well, maybe you have a messed up microbiome.
Yeah.
You have dysbiosis. Maybe you need to, maybe you have a food intolerance.
Right.
It doesn't mean like, oh, you take the Creon and like, it's all fine.
Right.
When you're eating like, you know, a pepperoni pizza all the time.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe you've been taking a PPI for so long.
That too.
And that messes you up.
Yeah. Maybe you have SIBO.
Maybe you have
small
SIBO.
Small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. Right.
Maybe you've been on too many rounds of antibiotics
in the past for whatever reason.
Yeah, yeah. That's messed your microbiome.
Yeah. And so that's why she took it, and it's expensive. It's not helping that much. So then maybe she needs to explore other routes towards improving her digestion.
Yeah.
She could also try, but you know, if the Creon's not working, it's not that likely that these other maybe less potent things that are available over the counter are working.
Yeah.
Are going to work for her.
My question to Sue is, what other medications are you taking that may be causing the EPI?
Yeah.
If anything.
Yeah.
Or what other, or how are you
eating? It could be simply, you know, like, don't stop eating wheat or stop picking dairy or, you know.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Make sure you're getting enough minerals. You know, we need zinc and salt for the parietal cells in the stomach to secrete enough acid.
Okay.
For example, which is very interesting to the, not having to do with pancreatic enzymes, but just starting there.
Yeah.
Is something. You know, in other words, salt your meat and eat it if you want some good stomach acid for starters.
I think, you know, a really good gastroenterologists can do some detective work and figure this out. But I generally am partial to integrative doctors who are more focused on, you know, subtle causes of gastro conditions.
Yeah.
You know, like if you have, you know, ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease, you know, you may want to see a gastro, or you should be seeing a gastro, because they might prescribe powerful medications that can put out the fire. But with these sort of subtle conditions, they sometimes don't do so well. They'll say, you know, take some psyllium, take some, they like this notion of prescribing a medication, because, you know, it kind of fits the paradigm, like, this is the diagnosis, we'll give you a prescription medication. You
know. Sue needs a good evaluation of her diet, find out what's there that is causing this problem in her, and maybe do some kind of an elimination, at the very least, just for starters.
Yeah.
Evaluation.
One of my early books, 7 Weeks to a Settled Stomach, was written many years ago, but it could be a good starting point for this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, still in print.
Okay. Oh, here's a question.
Oh, good point at which to pause, because we owe our sponsors an opportunity to share an important message. So let's do that now.
You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands that I know and trust. The very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. And know that I take great care in vetting our sponsors and selecting products that I think will be of interest to you and potential utility, and that I legitimately believe in. So when we share information, hopefully it's augmenting the content of these podcasts.
Yeah. We've got an email from Jerry. I started with the very painful shingles around the beginning of January. I did see my doctor and I got medication. I still have redness where the rash was and a very annoying tingling nerve endings. It's now the end of February that he's sent us this email. Mm-hmm. He had this in the beginning of January. Do you sell or is there a product I could be taking to help this heal faster?
Well, no, not really. I think the issue is postherpetic neuralgia, the pain that people experience afterwards, is tough to treat. There may be some evidence around alpha-lipoic acid, which has some anti-neuropathy effects as a form of neuropathic pain. I would also suggest considering CBD, and especially the relief product that has PEA and CBD. Ultimately, sometimes you have to take medications like Neurontin. Sometimes you need to take antidepressant medications because they actually do have an impact on the way that your brain processes pain signals.
Yeah. A note about alpha-lipoic acid. If you do take this, Geraldine, and by the way, she's 81 years old.
And that typically older people get more, their just immune system doesn't respond well.
It's not a matter of taking 300 milligrams of alpha-lipoic acid twice a day. You need like 2,000 milligrams of the stuff.
But be careful with that because it has to be taken with food.
Yes, absolutely with food. Otherwise, it could cause
stomach pain.
Quite a bit of, you wouldn't trade one discomfort for another, right? So there you go, Jerry. Oh, we hope you feel better soon.
Yeah, I mean, tough problem. And I, for some reason, older people who are frail are more susceptible to the postherpetic neuralgia, which can be very devastating. And, you know, hence an argument sometimes, you know, maybe consider taking the Shingrix shot. Although, you know, sometimes people feel crappy when they take the shot. But, you know, it's usually that they don't have profound side effects that are lasting from the shot.
I want to know if the German guy who took 217...
what else he took?
If he took any of those as well, that would be interesting to know. I would be interested to know.
It'd be interesting if he just had, like, his singular fear was COVID, but he wasn't worried about
anything else.
Yeah.
Anything else. Okay. All right. Best of luck to you, Geraldine. All right. We've got an email from Lynn. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Protein is touted for those on a low-calorie diet and for seniors.
Yeah.
By the way, we don't like low-calorie diets. It would have to be a completely rare occasion that I would even recommend that for somebody. They'd have to be extremely metabolic.
It's like lose 40
resistant.
Pounds in 40 days.
Right. We don't ascribe to that. I was looking for a protein shake and noticed many of them contain carrageenan, which I understand is considered a carcinogen.
Yeah.
So what?
Well, it's okay.
Yeah.
We got to differentiate because carrageenan, processed carrageenan, is a recognized carcinogen.
Yes.
Okay.
And carrageenan or carrageenan, not sure which way to pronounce it, it's a derivative of seaweed.
Right. And so there are various levels of processing of carrageenan. There's actually some a type of carrageenan that's highly processed that's outlawed because it is carcinogenic.
Yeah.
I hearken back to an experiment that I learned early in my career. I learned about it in the 1980s, where when they are obliged to test cosmetics on animals, it's actually a form of animal cruelty because what they do is they expose animals to cosmetic ingredients to see if they're safe.
Yeah.
And they have what's called a rat paw experiment. Now, ordinarily, a rat paw, you know, if you put like a cosmetic on a rat paw, it's probably not going to do much. But in order to sensitize the rat paw to whatever ingredient they're putting there, whatever perfume or additive or, you know, whatever, benzoconium chloride or, you know, all these crazy ingredients we see in cosmetics and antiperspirants and, you know, shampoos and things, they inject the rat paw with carrageenan to create an inflammation. And then they apply the cosmetic. And they see if the cosmetic worsens the inflammation. It's called, it's like a rat paw assay for safety.
Wow.
And so that demonstrates that indeed carrageenan is pro-inflammatory. But guess what? When we take carrageenan, we don't inject it into our systems.
Mm-hmm.
However, people... I think you've seen pictures of an endoscopy on someone who has ulcerative colitis. It's all red. It's all ulcerated.
Yeah.
It's bleeding. So people with that kind of intestine, we tell them to stay away from carrageenan 100%.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
For ordinary people, the amount of, and by the way, carrageenan is a kind of a texturizer. It kind of makes ice cream more creamy.
Yes.
And, you know, it's also used a lot in non-dairy products. You
right.
know, like,
right. It lends a creaminess
or like
to it.
Or yogurt or
yes.
something, like, to mm-hmm. give it like a thicken, it's a thickener.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
And it's, you know, it's derived from seaweed, so it's considered safe. I think that it's probably okay in moderation. I think it's considered a processed ingredient.
It
know,
is.
Processed food ingredient.
Yeah.
But if you have, like, an intestinal condition, you really want, and we advise
you
people.
You want to stay away from
yeah,
stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because it could exacerbate your
yeah.
symptoms or make the condition worse over time.
So
if you ingest it regularly,
and
yeah.
You recently heard a lecture from the father of functional medicine,
yes.
Jeffrey Bland, who
yeah.
we've had as a guest frequently. And, you know, I think virtually anyone who is a professional in this field will recognize his name. And he actually had a little bit of a nuanced discussion on that. Can you describe
he did,
that?
Well,
because you attended that lecture. I did not attend that lecture.
Yeah, yeah. And this was actually several years ago.
Okay.
He talked about that there's a difference between the regular so-called industrial carrageenan, or the food grade mm-hmm. carrageenan, because I think there was some question because it was in some supplements and things
okay.
like that. And
mm-hmm.
that's the reason it was brought up. So,
okay.
And that was the explanation that he gave.
Right.
Particularly that.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, it's still something. I read the labels of everything, but most of the food I buy doesn't have a label on it.
Right.
Well, really? It's not in a box?
It goes a little into the discussion of yeah. microparticles.
Yeah.
And we suggest that people avoid things like titanium. Because
yes.
it's a microparticle. It's a white coloring ingredient.
Yeah.
But it actually has a shard-like
yeah.
effect, you know, like glass shards in mm-hmm. the intestinal tract.
And a taste.
Especially, and mm-hmm. right, especially for people who have intestinal disorders.
Mm-hmm.
But
these are things that may injure
yeah.
the GI tract. And
right.
in anybody who is vulnerable there, we want to remove all of that.
Right.
Toothpaste and the mouthwash.
Right.
Besides in your ice cream.
Toothpaste contains certain abrasives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So it's best to stay with. Lynn, I know that there are lots of protein shakes on the market that don't have any carrageenan in them. You will find them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you will find them. And they're on Fullscript. So
right.
go to
right.
DearHoffman.com, go to the store, you'll see it there. There are many different varieties of various protein shakes. And by the way, for seniors, you want, you know, protein supplement is a good idea to kind of help combat sarcopenia. I don't know that it will combat it once it's
right.
set in. You want to be on a good regimen of that and some strength training, getting adequate protein anyway
mm-hmm.
in your diet. Whey protein is beneficial in that regard.
So I'm going to tell you what I have I'm routinely mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. I'm having usually some ice, some mac milk or almond milk,
mm-hmm.
A half an avocado, or alternatively some frozen mango or some frozen strawberry. You get a little sugar from that as opposed to the avocado. If you're avoiding sugar, that's not a great idea. Then I add a scoop of whey protein powder,
mm-hmm.
A teaspoon of creatine, because creatine is good not just for the muscles, it's also good for the brain,
mm.
according to studies. Some colostrum, some NT factor.
Some reacted magnesium.
No, I don't put it
in. No. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, yeah,
I do.
Yeah, yeah.
I use
powder.
It as a sweetener because
mm-hmm.
it has stevia in it. Thank
yeah.
you. So
yeah.
I get my magnesium. Thank you. I,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Good for energy.
And I also will put in some, I'm using Urolithin A, which is the Mito, under the Mito Pure brand. I'm putting it in as a powder.
Mm-hmm.
I might flavor it with maca, or mm-hmm. I might put in some Flavonaturals,
mm-hmm.
the Flava.
Cocoa.
Yeah. You know, and it's, I mean, I'll do that before a show and it's like, yeah, I'm ready to go. Like, my brain is firing on all cylinders because there's actually studies that even show in young people, not cognitively impaired oldsters, but
uh-huh.
in young people, that you get a little cognitive improvement from taking mm-hmm. high flavanol cocoa.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do that, I'm getting like 900 milligrams, which is like in a scoop. That's the your daily requirement. And
yeah.
it blends well with a vanilla flavoring.
Very, very nice.
Yep.
Very, very nice. Okay. Lynn, there you go. Thank you for your question. I've got an email from Meyer. Dr. Hoffman, 2 years ago, we noticed what looked like blood in my 3-year-old grandson's stool. He's now 5. A colonoscopy at that time determined he had ulcerative colitis.
My goodness.
That's so young.
Yeah.
That's so young.
Yeah.
He was put on medication and managed with it. Time passed and the diarrhea with blood worsened and he went for another colonoscopy and some blood work. He was put on Humira injections for a few weeks.
Yeah, that's what
with
they do.
No improvements.
That's well they're gonna have to go down the list of medications. They have like 4 or 5 now different medications for ulcerative colitis.
So in addition to the Humira, they're also giving him prednisone and we're told that he has pancolitis.
Pancolitis means everywhere. It's like, you know, the way you understand that is like when they talk about somebody who's pansexual, it means like everything.
Oh, I thought that was trisexual.
No. Tri is just 3
<I'm>
things.
<kidding.
laughs> Pan means...
Try anything is what I meant.
So pan means throughout the...
Throughout,
the,
yeah.
It's like, it's the lower, the middle,
yeah.
And the upper, mm-hmm. You know, the right side, the left side, the transverse colon, everything is inflamed.
All of it.
So bad.
Yeah.
Bad. And we would want to look, you know, what are some of the antecedents? You know, was there breastfeeding? Was there not breastfeeding? Was it C-section? Was there, you know, foods were introduced to the child or, you know, any number
poor
of things.
Diet.
Genetic component, you know.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just terrible.
It's terrible. It's just,
such,
I mean,
a
such a young age, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, is there a place for the SCD, specific carbohydrate diet?
In a 5-year-old, absolutely.
Sure.
Because there's enough carbohydrate there for
it. Right.
For the child, it's not like it's a low carb diet
right.
Or anything like that.
So get the book Breaking the Vicious Cycle by Elaine Gottschall.
Yeah. Yes.
And by the way, a lot of parents are using that for their autistic children who are very young.
Yeah.
So it's doable, and you can actually find, you know, it's kind of lonely to try this. You know, like I'm like, am I the only one doing this?
Yeah.
You go online. You will find a lot of support groups.
There's a wonderful community at breakingtheviciouscycle.info. That's breakingtheviciouscycle.info. I think they completely overhauled the website.
Yeah.
It looks so much nicer, so much better. Yeah. There's a list of legal,
you find
illegal
community there and
foods. There's
and
community. There's recipes.
Food
there's,
sources.
There's everywhere to get started.
Yeah.
That would be where I would go.
Yeah. And so while it is unusual for a child to have ulcerative colitis, it's unfortunately becoming more common. But the probably the biggest reason why children are being put on this is because of the benefits on the microbiome of the specific carbohydrate diet mm-hmm. for autistic children, you know, changing the microbiome has a beneficial brain effect.
Yeah.
And in fact, you know, this is actually the predicament of Elaine Gottschall, who wrote Breaking the Vicious Cycle, is she had a child, mm-hmm. Very young, who had colitis. And this was, she's dead now, so this happened like in the, probably in the, maybe the 50s or the 60s. And, She went around to all the doctors and they said, oh, I'm sorry, you know, your child's going to have a colectomy.
Yeah.
And she said, well, that's not acceptable. And she finally found an old German doctor who had been trained in Germany.
Dr. Haas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good memory.
Yeah.
Together we have an intact memory. It's sort of like 50% you, 50% me, and it's like
right.
Adds up to 100%. So Dr. Haas was of this old German school of diet therapy,
mm-hmm.
you know, where before the advent of a lot of medications, that's all they had.
Yeah.
And so he said, well, you know, there is this diet and it's very effective, but you must eliminate all the grains. No grain, you know, like he's...
What a great German accent.
I hung out in Germany. So,
yeah, yeah.
So anyway, so she said, well, that sounds crazy, but I'll do it. And her child got better.
Yes.
And not only that, but her child was also exhibiting signs of what was then called infant or childhood schizophrenia. Now, today there is no such thing as childhood schizophrenia. Schizophrenia develops in adolescence and 20-somethings.
Yeah, yeah.
So what the child had probably was a form of autism before the popularity of the diagnosis of autism.
Mm.
Well, upon the death of Elaine Gottschall, which happened, you know, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I interviewed that child
oh.
who is now a PhD, you know, super successful,
wow.
mainstreamed, no signs of personality disorder or anything, and cured of her ulcerative colitis.
Thanks to her
which
mother.
Which is a testimony to her... It just takes a mom.
Yeah.
That tenacity to... And by the way, she then... she was a housewife.
Uh-huh.
And so she went back to school, obtained a degree in biochemistry and molecular biology. And then, you know, with her credential, she began to write and proselytize on behalf of this dietary approach.
Yeah.
And she laid the foundation for this understanding of the microbiome. What is breaking the vicious cycle? It's breaking the vicious cycle of food feeding the bad bacteria.
Yes.
And causing bacterial proliferation mm-hmm. that causes toxicity, that causes autoimmunity, mm-hmm. that causes...
Inflammation and inflammatory bowel disease.
So you break the vicious cycle. How do you break it? Well, you can put the brakes on it with powerful immunosuppressive medication, but you can also break it by feeding the bacteria different food.
Yes.
And it changes the composition
right.
of the microbiome.
Different food.
Yep.
Eliminating the food that is most problematic.
Yep.
All of that.
Yep.
So, yeah. Meyer highly recommended go get the book Breaking the Vicious Cycle and go to the website immediately. BreakingTheViciousCycle.info, I-N-F-O.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the place to
and
go.
And then there are various supplements that can be, because these children have nutritional deficiencies because they're not absorbing properly. So I think this is a case for an opportunity to see a nutritionist who's experienced in pediatrics,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I might demur on seeing a five-year-old child because I do adult medicine. Although I've treated, you know, adolescents for this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, all right. Best of luck, Meyer, to your family, to your grandson. Okay. We've got an email from Betsy. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I have moderate chronic fatigue.
And what was the first word?
I have moderate chronic fatigue.
Oh, I thought you said monic chronic.
Monic chronic. I have monic chronic fatigue.
Moderate chronic fatigue?
I have moderate chronic fatigue. And have like, heard...
I'm a little tired.
I'm a little tired,
a little
but not
tired.
So much. I'm a little
tired. Yeah.
Moderate chronic fatigue. And have heard that many naturopaths utilize an organic acid test.
Okay.
You know the test,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But mainstream docs I've asked for have never heard of this.
Yeah.
Well, familiar with it?
You know, the type of doctor who knows about organic acid tests are these geneticists.
Mm-hmm.
And also people who study metabolic diseases and mitochondropathies, which mm-hmm. are rare disorders of the mitochondria, where mm-hmm. some people have, you know, difficulty processing energy, and these are genetic disorders. But, you know, we know that the mitochondria, it's not like they're fine or they're completely screwed up.
Right.
There's like a gradation.
Yeah.
And what the organic acid test will sometimes speak to is your efficiency of making energy, utilizing energy, and also some vitamin and supplement pathways. So it's a useful test. I used to do it, but I don't do it that much anymore because it's sometimes TMI, too much information.
Yes.
And I think you can do a lot before you need one of those tests in just supporting people with a broad spectrum of nutrition.
Yeah.
But in patients who are very enigmatic,
yeah.
you may want to do that. Like, I can't figure out why this person is not responding to the usual therapies.
Then that's when you really go into the weeds with the organic acids test, I think, when every other stone is...
But it's not...
Yeah.
I think standard physician... It's not like it's a renegade test.
No.
Or a... quackery test. Mm. It's just not applied for people with moderate fatigue. I mean, if a child has what's called like flaccid limb syndrome, you know, like they can't move or their muscles are completely underdeveloped or something, maybe they will get an organic acid test.
Yeah.
Like maybe that can spot
that's poorly functioning mitochondria
in certain pathways that are, mm-hmm. you know, under... they're called rare diseases.
Yeah.
Rare genetic diseases. Mm-hmm. But it could lend some insights for people who have ordinary run-of-the-mill fatigue. But before you go there, you know, you could look at some basic look at the basics.
Why are you tired?
Look at the thyroid. Look at the thyroid. Are you in menopause? Are you sleeping enough?
All of
having
that.
Sleep apnea?
Are you overdoing caffeine? That'll make you tired.
Are you insulin resistant?
Yeah.
Which can cause fatigue,
Right.
Any number of things. Did you have some autoimmune disorder like something?
Something.
Hashimoto's
exactly.
or something.
Did you go through some kind of an infection that you haven't come out of, the other side?
That too.
Are you on any medication
right.
that is causing your fatigue?
And this can be challenging. It's like there's
Do you have a vitamin deficiency?
Right. Yep.
Are you low in B12?
A woman, iron, is key.
Iron, B12, yeah. Absolutely. There you go, Betsy.
So we have time for one more question.
Okay. This comes from Sally. Recently, I had an outbreak of an undetermined type of dermatitis on my shins, moved to the surrounding areas of my legs, itching, burning rash described as raised pimples, reddish in color, sensitive to touch and heat.
Mm-hmm.
My dermatologist said atopic dermatitis, and I was given pimecrolimus cream.
Okay, so what that is now, it's, I think, a variant on tacrolimus, which is used, it's protopic, is the tacrolimus. I guess this medication is, it's very expensive, and it is sometimes... sometimes covered partially by insurance, but sometimes you have to have a big copay.
It didn't work for Sally.
It
made it worse.
Oh, wow.
In fact.
That's weird, yeah.
And then another visit to a dermatologist gave her Opzelura, which is ruxolitinib.
A monoclonal.
Yeah. Opzelura, which was very helpful. The rash is nearly gone, except for remaining stubborn areas. Right.
I think I answered this question on my radio program, but I'll answer it again. It's either the same person or the person the same.
Ruxolitinib.
Yeah, okay. So there's these powerful immunosuppressant drugs that work on, inflammatory pathways, monoclonal antibodies. This may be not a monoclonal antibody, but a blocker of a certain pathway, like interleukin, some pathway. It solves the problem, but it'd be nice to get at the bottom of the problem, which is it the result of a food intolerance? Is it the result of a lack of essential fatty acids? Is it a result of could zinc be helpful for repairing the skin? And the other thing is, I sometimes like to use low-dose naltrexone in these types of cases.
Yeah.
Because it's a mild immunomodulator. But it's a prescription. You got to get it from a doctor. So, I think dermatology and integrative medicine, I think there's a lot of potential for addressing dermatological problems.
Yes.
With diet.
Yeah.
And with certain supplements. Mm-hmm. Fish oil, SPM, for example, specific pro-resolving mediator is helpful for working on the leukotriene pathway that is, partially responsible for
looking for food allergies, intolerances, too much, anything in the toxic exposures.
Make sure, of course, that you get a test for celiac disease because are skin manifestations of celiac disease.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that, if you've been to enough dermatologists that they will run that test.
Mm-hmm.
But if for some reason that's been overlooked, make sure you get that checked because that could be there is a form of skin lesion that actually should, on analysis of a biopsy, the pathology report should render a diagnosis of dermatitis herpetiformis, which is a pathognomonic or very specific.
It's the skin version of celiac.
Exactly.
Right?
So
yeah.
I presume that that's been looked at and that this is definitely not that.
Mm.
But, just dot our I's and cross our T's here.
Yeah.
And even sometimes in the absence of a celiac diagnosis, elimination of things like wheat, dairy, what's called an oligoantigenic diet or a paleo diet.
Yeah.
Can help a lot of skin problems. It helps acne often.
It helps a
psoriasis.
Whole lot of things.
A lot,
doing an elimination diet like that would be very helpful. Yeah. It would be worth your while, Sally, to do that.
you know, and go through an inventory of what you, you know, your shampoos and your soaps and your,
all of
you
it.
Know, your laundry detergents, just to make sure there are no ingredients that could trigger a skin reaction.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Reminder.
Well, that kind of wraps it up for today.
Yeah.
So keep sending your questions, please, to questions@drhoffman.net. And check out drhoffmanstore.com for your supplement needs. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have and should seek the assistance of their health care professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.